Okay, so it's now 4 o'clock. I saw Sharon here, right? Oh, not Sharon. I saw Kirsten. There she is right there. Okay, cool. So we do have a quorum. If you want to go ahead and get started, Nikita, go ahead and we'll be on our way.
So the time is now 4 p.m., and I am calling to order the June 10th, 2021 hearing for the Aberdeen Architectural Conservation District Commission hearing. Present today is myself, Nikita Burns. We also have Helen Pillsbury and Kirsten Hoffman, as well as staff person Nicholas Armada. Today, the commission will be holding a public hearing to review applications. In accordance with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts Executive Order suspending certain provisions of the open meeting law, we are conducting this meeting online to ensure public access to deliberations of the Aberdeen Architectural Conservation District Commission. The public may access this call through telephone or video conferencing. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can send your questions to staff via email at aberdeenacdc@boston.gov or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle @BostonLandmarks and using the hashtag #ABJuneTenth hearing. We will repeat these instructions throughout the hearing. So the first item on the agenda today is a violation. The application is 21050 AB 1830 for 1835, I'm sorry, 1853 Commonwealth Avenue. In the violation details is the ratification of unapproved paved surfaces and removal of landscaping. Are there any members of the commission member, any recusals of commission members? If there are none, we can just ask the members of the public to hold your comment until the end for the public comment period. And I will hand it over to the applicant. You have 5 minutes to discuss the application.
All right. So thanks very much, Nikita. Before I let Rita talk, so I just want to go over the details here. So I was in touch with Rita yesterday or a few days ago in terms of what happened here. So there's a few things that we need to go over in terms of the commission. This is a violation. There's no application. So once we discuss a proper method forward, then we can have the applicant submit an application if needed. So Rita, I will hand it over to you if you just want to explain what happened and why it happened, and then we'll take it from there.
Thank you. My name is Rita Kleiner. I own the property individually. The tenants, it's a mixed zoning property. So the commercial tenants park on the property, and I've had a barrage of complaints that the way the parking spots are currently positioned, they're perpendicular to the green space. So for them, in order to come out, they have to move. And there's a fence with a neighbor that if you throughout my ownership of the property, it's constantly get knocked out by my tenants because they keep there's not enough room to maneuver. And they also say that when they have to do this way, especially when there's any snow or anything, there's just not enough space. So what we did after yet again the fence got broken by one of the tenants, and I fixed it. I don't dispute that it's their fault, that we simply angled the parking spaces instead of being perpendicular to what the showing is diagonal, so that they when they move out and park, they can just move diagonally without changing anything. There was no machinery used. I've submitted the plan that I sent to Mr. Armada. My husband drew the plan that we gave to the Mason to show that, and we made sure that the plan did not change the amount of green space. So what the Mason did is simply use the stones, and I've sent Mr. Armada photos to re-angle the entry instead of perpendicular cars to have them move in diagonally. And then we drew lines with white and numbered them, as you can see. So he used the stones to change it. And according to the plan that my husband drew up, that we made sure that the green space did not change.
Got it.
So if there was an application, because no machinery was used, I didn't realize I needed an application. I'm happy to apply for it, however needed. I apologize. It just because, it, as you can see, the previous parking spaces, it was all perpendicular and it was being a nightmare. And finally, when I could secure a mason after the COVID, this winter it was a nightmare from constant barrage of complaints from tenants. That once I could, the mason said, "Oh, I can do it now." We did it. But I again, if it needs to an application or something, I'm happy to remedy.
Great. And Rita, when you made the changes to these parking spaces, did you receive zoning sign off? Because typically speaking, zoning would request to review any parking changes on the property. Did you go through them yet?
Again, I didn't, only because we didn't change the number of spaces. We simply angled the entry. So I didn't add any different spaces, or I simply moved the ones that are parking perpendicular to now move them on an angle. So again, I didn't realize it needed zoning because it's the same commercial tenants that are parking on the property. They're mostly, so we didn't add, but if I need to have a zoning write-off. I guess I didn't realize.
That's what we're here for. So, we'll be able to help you out there. I just want to get all the details out to the commissioners, and then, we can go from there. If the commission does decide that you're able to keep the spaces as is, but you'll need to submit an application. But prior to submitting the application to us, you'll need to apply through zoning to get a zoning variance. And I'm happy to connect you with the folks that you'll need to work with to do that. So let's hand this back.
It's a zoning variance.
You would need to go through zoning, and I can get you all that information.
Okay, I didn't realize there was a variance because we didn't add spot. But okay, I'll take your recommendation. Thank you.
Yeah, sure. So we can cross that bridge when we get to it. But okay. For now, I'm just going to hand it back to the commissioners, and they'll have questions and comments. So commissioners, back to you.
Nikita, I'd like to ask a question, if I may, of Kirsten. Sharon is not here, I think, today. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm sorry. I was late.
Oh, hi, Sharon. So I'd like to ask Sharon and Kirsten if they remember dealing with exactly this same violation. I went back and looked and found the staff notes from it. It was from like November and October of 2011, but exactly this same violation. And at that time, we required the property owner to restore the property to the configuration that it had been, because front yard parking is not permitted in the district. One of the, let me just not go on that. Let me just ask the other commissioners if they have a recollection of this.
Helen, yes, I do. This is deja vu all over again. And while I can appreciate the difficulty of parallel parking, we did go over this quite thoroughly. I think it was 3 or 4 years ago, any loss of green space, no matter how minimal it may appear in the plan, I can't approve it at this time because there's so much demand for parking as it is, and there's a great deal of mixed commercial and private use in Aberdeen that, if the tenants are unable to manage parallel parking, then exploring additional parking in the rear of the structure seems preferable.
In the rear of the structure, there is two parking spots, and for them already, in order to exit, there's no more room. I don't own enough land to add any more spaces in order for them to be able to exit. So the prior, what you're saying, from what I understand, this was done before I acquired the property, I think in 2015. From what I understand then, the landscape was actually changed. So I didn't touch the landscape. I simply re-angled the in front of the house parking as it is. I simply made it. You can see the spot, for example, on that car. See, underneath the spot was parallel. And I simply angled the entry into that same spot. So yes,
I see the angle. And it looks pretty much like what we reviewed under the previous owner. And the argument was the same. I realize that parallel parking is difficult at the best of time, and under winter snow conditions, it can become nearly impossible. Also, there is a large temple about two doors further on up Commonwealth Avenue, and when they have events, there is no such thing as parking. Angling this is, we've looked at this before. I can't see any additional reason for approving it this time. But I'd like to hear from some of the other commissioners to get a different view, perhaps.
Yeah, I agree with you, Sharon and Helen. I think we need to be consistent, and I do. Your recollections are better than mine, but I do have a similar recollection.
You know, one of the goals of the district is to preserve green space, and the topography is part of our district. The topography and landscaping are part of our district, unlike some other districts that are strictly the physical building structures. And, mm-hmm. you know, one of the goals and missions is to retain those topographical elements, and then in more traditional yards like this, to retain the traditional front yards and greenery. By having, and front yard parking is disallowed by zoning. That's not our bailiwick here, the zoning, but front yard parking is both disallowed by zoning and disallowed by our guidelines. And by having that angled parking, it makes the front yard look like a parking lot. It's much more in the aspect of parking rather than green space in front.
Thank you, Helen. I also just want to acknowledge that Commissioner Bly has joined us in the meeting. So thank you, John. So far, I just want to say that I'm also in concurrence with the comments that have been made so far. I'll pass it to John. If John, if you want to add anything.
I have one additional question. With the temple not always in full use all of the time, is it possible to make a temporary agreement with the temple for some parking spaces to be rented to you or your tenants when there isn't an event at the temple?
We haven't explored it, only because our commercial tenants are mostly psychotherapists and psychiatrists, and mm-hmm. They ask for a permanent spot to have, because they often work both weekends, evenings. We have, I think, 3 out of 4 offices is psychotherapy, and the other one is also physical wellness. But in terms of green space, I understand your concern. So as you can see, I mean, if that's the concern, I mean, it's probably only several, maybe like half a foot. So if I were to move the spot out of, I guess, whatever green space you deem that I've, abutted on, I'm happy to adjust. I just need them to not crush the fence every time, there is any snow or any rain. It's just becomes constantly a hazard. To me, they say it's a safety issue, because when they leave, they can't see people. You're barely passing another car. So I get barraged by tenants' complaints. They need spots because they come in at all odds of hours. So if it's a matter of saving green space, I'm happy to move out the spots by, whatever inches, it's not a foot or anything. So to adjust it, I mean, is there any way with, you know, the commissions that would suggest in a way that you would admit it, because it's already in the front. So it, to me, it actually looks nicer than this pileage of cars coming in and out in this. Is there, you know, any suggestion in under which you would agree to? Because as you see, in terms of square footage of the green space, it didn't change.
Right. So thank you, Rita. Commissioners, I also, you know, just to throw it out there, and, you know, I have no opinion either way, but there, if the concern is green space and the accommodation, and if we're trying to accommodate the property owner at all, there are options for pervious surfaces in terms of, you know, brick with some holes in them where grass can grow through. You know, it's a newer method of pavement and driveways that we're seeing. It was very popular in the 1920s. So that's also an option. But, you know, just throwing it out there as something that could be done. The other thing is we don't necessarily have to make a decision this evening because she will still need to get the approval from the zoning team, the zoning ZBA. So we could, you know, defer this to them and then have their decision. And then whatever theirs is, then they could, Rita could come back to us with an application and then we can make the decision based on that. Completely up to you. So just wanted to make you aware of those options.
I'm sorry, I got into this a little later, but so this looks like it's pretty existing right now. When you bought the building, was it like that? Or if you could, just give me a quick.
When I bought the building, it was like the image on the left. So the spots were, the spots are not drawn because as I told the commissioners before, it's just a drawing that my husband drew for the Mason.
No, that's fine, because I saw the picture.
Parallel to that green space rather than angled. So instead of, we tried to just simply rotate them by whatever 30 degrees, essentially the same spots, just rotated so that the entry and exit is less hazardous. Mm-hmm. Because we're barraged by the tenants' complaints that it's dangerous. They call it, I don't want to place it as an unsafe condition, but they just get real. I get a lot of complaints and they hit the fence all the time because trying to avoid the parallel car that they're trying to swerve, you know, around.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Helen, were you saying something?
Sorry, I just wanted to bring you up to date that the commissioners had discussed that the previous owner had made exactly this type, same violation in 2011. And we had required him to restore the front yard to the rectangular configuration.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I mean, almost every committee that I'm on, you know, they're against, you know, front yard parking in every kind of way. So
I would add one more thing to that. Given the current state of development in not just Aberdeen, but the Alston-Brighton area, anything we do regarding parking in the front yard is we will see it over and over. It will just get bigger. And as I said earlier, this is deja vu. I've seen this plan before.
I think that's a good point, Sharon, that, you know, we always need to be dealing with the issue at hand, but we also always need to be thinking about precedent and not making a decision that we can't apply generally. In other words, if we allow this, we would, you know, there would be a precedent that we should allow some other front yard parking. I think that's a very slippery slope.
Well, I also think there's the issue of, you know, if it was like one or two spots and just to make it all work with that much green space, but the fact that it's going to be so many cars, so many spots, it's, you know, it makes it tougher to consider, you know.
Rita, do you have anything written into your contracts with your tenants about parking?
It just entitles them to one spot. So it's, as I said, I didn't add number of spots. I simply rotated them, but they are, some of these tenants have been there for 20 years, 15 years, the psychologists, and they're, the contract, you know, they get a one spot. That's one of the
So, you know, looking at the plans here, so you said you have four units in this building?
No, I have one vacant right now.
There's a total of four units, right?
What?
Total of four units?
One, two, three. There's five units with one vacant. It's been vacant for a while. Yeah.
Okay. So right now,
commercial. There's obviously residential tenants as well.
Okay. So right now, according to your legal contracts, you're required to provide, as of right now, four parking spaces. So to me, the two driveways that are in the yard could easily accommodate four cars without these adjustments. Is that not the case?
For four cars, sure.
Yep. Okay. Commissioners, any other questions, comments, or concerns?
The only thing I would add is I would like to see what the ZBA has to say about this. I'd like to find a solution, but at the moment, I don't see one that's satisfactory to the applicant. But I'd like to wait until the ZBA weighs in.
That seems fair, Sharon, and I think that's a good idea. So I think the main point here was to give Rita some guidance on a process forward. So Rita, I think you have some comments from the commission that you can use constructively to resolve this issue. And then tomorrow, when we're back in the office, I can get you in contact with the people in the BPDA that you need to work with to get these plans approved. And then if they approve them, then we can move forward with our plans, and we can collaborate together to come up with a reasonable solution to this. Does that sound fair?
Yes, thank
okay.
you.
Can I make a comment to that though, Nick?
You never have to ask, Helen. You never have to ask.
I think that the applicant needs to be clear that she could go through the ZBA and be approved, and this commission could still disallow what the ZBA has approved.
Correct. That is
the front park yard parking is against the guidelines of the Aberdeen district, aside from zoning.
I'm sorry, may I just ask for clarification? What do you call front line parking? Because these cars are still parked in the front line.
But this makes it the way they're parked in this angle parking is like a parking lot. It's not just a driveway where there's a couple cars, one in front of the other.
Rita, typically speaking in the district, with this used to be a single family home a long, long time ago. And the way the guidelines read in the district is that you're permitted one driveway that I believe, and Sharon and Helen, help me out with the dimensions here. Is it 10 feet by 9 feet? Whatever it is.
Having two driveways though is unusual for a structure.
Right. And that probably. So that's kind of what Sharon and Helen meant by front yard parking.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Nick, am I opening up to public comment on this?
Well, I was going to say yes, but I don't see anybody in the public here.
Gotcha.
Let me just double check the emails to make sure that we didn't get any. I have no comments about this property through email, so we can go ahead and close on the public comment portion.
Excellent.
All right. So I think we're all set with this conversation. Luckily, the next applicant is also Rita, so we can move on to that application and discuss that with Rita. So Nikita, if you want to go ahead and read the description, and then we'll go from there.
Sure. So the next item on the agenda is a design review hearing. The application number is 21-1053, again for 1853 Commonwealth Avenue, and the proposed work is to add vinyl siding. Are there any recusals from a commission member? If there are none, members of the public are asked to please hold their comment until the comment period for the application. And I will hand it back over to Rita.
Okay. And Rita, just explain the project here, the need for the siding, and
So as you can see from my photo, the house, the siding needs to be replaced. I was hoping to do it last year. My responses to any siding people were never even met. I now found somebody and he suggested to me, look, you know, you have shingles, but if he suggested we do vinyl that looks like shingles, and I've sent a copy of proposed by my siding guy, 7-inch shingles that are made from vinyl. And then in my application, and I'm happy to read the reasons why vinyl is so much better given the weather temperature, given the Boston factors. It's weather resistant, it's insect resistant, it's immune to water damage. It doesn't need the type of upkeep that the wood siding needs that to render it 20 to 40 year long span. Vinyl is just 40 year span. And because vinyl comes in every possible color, I would choose specifically the vinyl that looks like shingles. It basically, I'm just hoping to use a much more, updated siding that is going to be a win-win, where it's going to look like shingles and it's going to look better for longer. I can go into more details. This is my first application, so I don't know how much. Obviously, I'm not a contractor, but based on what my own research and what I was told by my siding guy, I can provide more examples of why vinyl is better. And from what I was told, it's the type of vinyl that looks like shingles, so we won't change the nature of the or the color of the house.
And Rita, in terms of the color that the house is painted now, do we know if that's the historic color? Was there any evidence that this house was another color at some period in time? I mean, it's a pretty bright blue, like a robin's egg blue almost. I'm not sure if that would have been around when the house was originally built, but any idea what the original color was of the shingles?
When I bought it, it was in this way, and clearly the siding hasn't been touched, I think, by the previous owner. The owner before that is a trust. I could try to track the trustee, but I think it basically must have been like this for 20-ish years,
sure,
maybe more. Perhaps the commissioners would know, since they seem to be familiar with the property.
Yeah,
I'm happy to change the color if that's what I would love for it to have be cuter. I'm not in love with the blue, but I will take the commissioners' guidance as to the color. Whether it must remain the same, whether I have leeway. I would love to do a little bit of a. What's it called? Contours, with a darker blue and blue kind of. Mm-hmm. I've seen some really cute looking, but I haven't even talked to an interior designer that would advise on the color what's best, because I didn't know what's possible. Yeah. I know there's all kinds of colors on the street, I'll take guidance on that.
Sure. So just a quick note on that. Typically speaking, this looks like it's either the original cedar shank shingle. So if you peeled a couple back, I'm sure there would be some residue from the original paint color if it was painted at all. Maybe it was weathered. It's hard to say, but that's something that could easily be decided. Anything else, Rita, before we hand it back to the commissioners?
Again, in terms of, I chose the 7-inch just because my siding guy suggested it, that it's going to look similar, but I'm happy. I need to change the siding. It seems now that we're in progress, the materials progress, it seems just not very efficient to use the old wood siding that is under in New England weather is just not a good idea given the type of different materials. If it's not vinyl, if the commissioners have other suggestions, this was what the siding person that I finally found, when he looked at the house, suggested to me, and it seemed really like a better idea than using the old wood that is just going to be a problem.
Great. Thank you very much, Rita. Commissioners, back to you.
Nick, I have a question. Are vinyl siding that looks like or imitates cedar shakes is fairly new as a development. We did cover something comparable when we were talking about another property on Lanark Road. And I wonder how familiar are you with this material? Is it is it as durable as other things?
So that's a great question, Sharon. So what I will tell you is that you know, the industry is coming out with more and more advanced product as the years go by. I think gone are the days when we have you know, a single sheet of vinyl siding that looks clearly like plastic. We're now seeing that there's patterns and gradients, but it is a new uncharted territory. And, you know, as Joe and our other planners can attest to, this is something that has to be reviewed on a case by case basis. If you remember, we're going to have a composite wood window set up as a mock-up on one of the properties until the applicant pulled out of that, because typically speaking, we don't allow those types of window materials in the district. I will also say, and I'm sure Helen's going to point to this because she's always on point, but the guidelines don't really specify the type of vinyl that's not allowed. The guidelines simply say it's not allowed. However, if you are willing to entertain or look into this, what we could do is we could have Rita's siding person or installation person set up a mock-up where we could all go out and look at it in person and determine whether or not it's a good fit. I would tell you that's what's kind of happening in the other districts, where we're doing this on a case-by-case basis to keep an open mind about newer products that are more advanced than the older products in the market. So that's how I'd respond to that.
Okay, thank you.
I think that is a good idea because, you know, when the guidelines are now 20 years old and, you know, when they disallow vinyl siding, it's what we're picturing, the strips of vinyl. And my question, so I think that's a good approach. I also wonder, are there any other products that are not vinyl, but that are durable, but and sort of replicate sheeters, shingles. And I just also just want to make a comment about the color. Generally, paint colors in the district are not reviewed because people can paint their house whatever color they want or their trim, because it's considered something that's reversible. You know, you can just repaint something another color later. But generally, we don't review color and don't make a requirement about color. I would say in this case, if a material is used that would, you're not talking about it ever being repainted, like the color that it is going to be is going to be permanent, then I don't know that there's anything in the guidelines that would allow us to require a certain color, but I would say that we might want to give guidance or suggestion to the to the property owner. I actually do think I have a recollection of this house being gray, like sometime in the last.
I vaguely do too, Helen.
And you know, so a more neutral color, if it's going to be a color that's going to be permanently there, permanently for many decades, you know, maybe a more neutral color would be preferable, or find something that's more historically typical of the shingle houses in the neighborhood would be a possible approach, just because the color would be more permanent than a paint color that we normally don't make a decision on, because, you know, that is so completely changeable.
Okay. So
I would be interested in if there's any other, besides vinyl shingles, there's any other new material. I do think we need to look at these new materials because there are different things there than when we created these guidelines and these the standards and criteria. I think we need to be able to respond to that.
Yeah, commissioners, can you see this on the screen here?
Yes.
This is from 2009. I went back in time on Google Street View. It does appear as though it's kind of a grayish blue in this year. Okay, so it sounds like we'd want to set up a mock-up before we make any decisions. Rita, do you see any problem with that?
So I don't know what that means, a mock-up, because I don't know, I'm sure you're aware, getting anyone right now to come in and actually do something and then come back, it is going to be
nope. So you don't need to do that, Rita.
I don't know what a mock-up means.
Sorry, let me explain. That's kind of industry jargon. That's my apologies. So basically a mock-up, you'll ask your installation guy or girl send you a sample, and all manufacturers are willing to send you samples. I can guarantee that right now. Perfect. And all you have to do is once you get that sample, just put it on the front of the house and then give me a call and I'll let the commissioners know that it's available for viewing.
Okay. Yeah. And just because, okay, forgive me if it's an obvious question. For example, my guy sent me, and the one that I sent to you is on Amazon. Can I just buy like three, you know, pieces, and is that a mock-up?
If it's the material that you plan on buying for this project, then yes, that's completely okay.
And may I ask then more guidance so that I understand? So I understand that you would prefer some kind of grayish blue tone. Am I permitted then to do a trim of a similar tone, but a little bit of a, like here, you know, you see like the white and blue, just so that gray is just gray, so to make it, you know, brighter or something more, I wouldn't put a, you know, a red trim, obviously, but.
Well, actually the red would work fine. It's whatever architectural enhancements that highlight the attractiveness of the building is going to be beneficial.
Oh, so then am I permitted to talk to, you know, a designer and have them recommend the color of the trim and go with it without needing, again, permission?
Yep. Yes. So, okay. So Rita, as we mentioned before, Helen corrected me. We actually do not regulate color in the district, right. But, you know, we can certainly give you, you know, recommendations if that's what you're looking for. So that's certainly a possibility. And it seems as though the evidence is pointing to that it was some sort of tone of gray slash blue. So, you might want to consider keeping it around those tones. But, you know, it's up to you. But if you wanted to consult with a designer, that would be fine.
Okay. Okay. I have to go through my guy again to get him anything to do, and I can order the Amazon, it's much more efficient because, you know, the response, and he told me, you know, when I applied for the page that he's ready, but I mean, these guys disappear and I may not be even. So the other question is, so if you guys allow, then the next step is for him to file for a permit, and then we're and that would be the go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, so we have to approve it first. And so that will occur after we review the sample of the mock-up. And then after that's done, then you'll be able to install. But I do want to note that we're going to have to also get this, the driveway situation squared away first, just in terms of a decision from ZBA. So we'll do that all simultaneously.
And while we're at it, do the commissioners have a different material? You know, vinyl shingles is what my siting person suggested, but if there is a different, more durable materials than wood that the commissioners, you know, are more comfortable with, I'd be happy to explore it as well if you have a suggestion.
The other option is there's composite siding. So composite is basically... I actually don't know what composite is. It's maybe a ground
it's
up.
It's a combination of plastic and it's like the Trex for decks. It's a combination of plastic and glue and some sawdust and under very high pressure, but there's more to it than that. And I don't have any information about how durable it is. Yeah.
So
we kind of know how vinyl behaves.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, if you wanted to explore that, you could, but I think the commissioners right now are their interests are piqued in terms of your option that you've provided. So, you know, I think for the sake of simplifying things, let's stick with the vinyl for now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Nick, the other thing I was going to say is I know a house down in the center that has this type of siding already in place, and it's been there for quite a few years. It actually looks quite nice, but it's on Bennett Street. If people, you know, you go down Market Street, you take a left on Bennett, it's the first full house on the left, just if people are in the neighborhood and wanted to actually see it on a house. I'm not saying it's the exact same product, obviously, but I know they have something, a plastic shingle in place, and it's been there for quite a while, and you know, it looks decent.
Okay, so you know, we can check that out. I think it would be safer if we waited for Rita to provide her option, because it would be the exact option that she's proposing.
Yeah, absolutely. But just in terms of actually being able to see like what they look like stacked in, you know what I mean? It gives you a better feel for what it would look like, I think. You know, just for the commissioners that are local.
Yeah, and I think along those lines, Rita mentioned getting a few shingles. I think it could be good to have a, you know, not a few, just to sort of see how they would be. Like, it's hard to get an idea of just looking at one piece, but to sort of see how they might be sort of stacked. And
I'll get a few. Okay.
You know, next to each other.
Great. So it sounds like we're getting close to a motion. And I think the motion can be for us to continue this to the next hearing, and then, or we can remand it to a subcommittee that would consist of however many commissioners. It's up to you.
I rather think remanding it to a subcommittee, because Helen lives a few doors away, and I live a few doors away on the other hand. And if we met with you or just walked by the house when the sample is attached to it, that would probably accomplish the purpose. But I'd love the full participation of the entire commission.
Yeah, I mean, I think if everyone is able to look at the, I think the advantage of that is because we're looking at something new that we haven't dealt with before. It would really be good for everybody.
Okay.
Unless people have their own schedules and constraints and whatnot, but if the other commissioners are able to, I think it's good for everybody to know what we're considering, because, you know, if we approve this one, we may have applications in future that would be asking for the same material. I think it's good for all of us to be, you know, educated and understand, you know, what the pros and cons of it are, and you know, kind of whatever decision we come to, kind of understand why we came to that decision. And I think seeing it in person, you know, helps that.
Yeah, good point.
I also think there's probably different levels of quality with these. But I mean, the nice thing about this particular house is it's set back a bit. And I find that with a little more distance, like everything, your eye isn't noticing so much the plastic as much as you're seeing kind of the look, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, so I think that that it'll be interesting.
Great.
Okay.
So, all right.
So I guess we can move on to making a motion then.
Do we need to do
so?
Let me double check and make sure there are no public comments.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Nope, you're good to go. No public comments.
Excellent. So is there a motion from a commissioner?
I make a motion to continue this to the next meeting so that we can take a look at the sample and make a decision whether it's something that the board feels comfortable approving.
I second that motion. I'll now take the roll call vote. So the commissioners can say yay, nay, or abstain. John?
Yay.
Sharon?
Yay.
Helen?
Yay.
Nikita? Yay. And Kirsten?
Yay.
And the application has been, I guess, postponed.
Continued.
Excellent.
Great. Okay, Rita. So you have some guidance there. I'll be in touch with you tomorrow, and we'll go over what next steps are. Okay.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Rita.
Excellent.
All right.
So the next application is application number 21-1054, which is AB miscellaneous location, and the applicant is the City of Boston. And the proposed work is a placard signage for CPA funded repairs. Are there any recusals from a commission member? If not, members of the public are asked to hold their comment until the public comment period. And I'll pass it over back to you, Nick.
Okay, Joe, do you want to describe this, or you want me to do it, or what do you want to do?
Oh, I'll do it. Hi, everybody. Okay. I think everyone knows me. I'm Joe Cornish, Director of Design Review.
Hi, Joe.
We've been approached by the staff of the Community Preservation Committee. And I think all of you are probably familiar, hopefully, with the Community Preservation Act, CPA. Our real estate taxes goes towards a fund that is awarded to preservation projects, conservation projects, and affordable housing projects. And one requirement for those properties receiving funding is permanent signage. So the CPC staff has reached out to us, showing us the options that they've looked at, which have gone through the City of Boston branding. And option A, which you see in the top left, is the option the committee is in favor of. I've brought this to the Bay Village Commission, Bay State Road Commission, the Back Bay Commission, and they're all in favor of option A. The Boston Landmarks Commission has reviewed this. They're leaning towards option A as well. The feedback I did get from the Boston Landmarks Commission, they thought it was too wordy. And I've talked to the committee staff and they're going to be coming up revising this. So the text will read community preservation. This property received support from the people of Boston. And then it's just going to say through the Community Preservation Fund. So it's going to be much simpler than what you see now. The other feedback that we received, if you look at the CPA, there's a vertical line and people are concerned that that looks like the letter I. So we're going to be working on trying to reduce that, either make a space, maybe darken it down to a darker tone. But otherwise, what we're really looking for is for each commission to remand these to staff. So when hopefully we have many properties in all the districts that are going to be receiving funding, and it'll be up to staff to meet with the property owner and meet with the staff from the CPC to identify the most appropriate place to attach these. So one, we want your feedback on the options, any comments that you have on the design, and then if you'd be willing to remand these to staff so we don't have to bring them to commission hearings.
Thanks, Joe. Well, there'll be no indication of the year they were installed?
No, and they're gonna be buying these in batches.
Ah, okay.
The hope is that, go ahead.
Oh, I'm like, it's hard for me to see the difference between these options. Can you tell us, like, I can see that there's a size difference when A and B are bigger than A and C are bigger than B and D, but like, can you tell us how they differ otherwise?
Yeah, it's the way the font is justified. So it's more centered in A and D, in A and B, and it's left.
Yeah, okay, justified. Gotcha.
So, you know, I think
most commissions are, and then one's a little larger than the other. So most commissions are going for the centered text.
Yes, yes.
The A. And now if they're reducing that language, so that there's not going to be as much text on there, do they need the large size or would that be visible on the smaller size?
They're going to have their designer look at it. So they're going to have to come back with a new template to see what it's going to look like. So, you know, it could be that the font gets larger. You know, maybe there's more spaces.
That's actually a good idea. So that actually is more legible to people as they're walking by quickly. In other words, you know, the people who actually really could read it in a quick passing and not like see that there's text that they never bother to read because it seems too long and complicated.
Yeah. A lot of the properties are you know, properties that are open to the public. So, you know, the idea is that somebody, if you're going to a church and to a museum, you're going to see this and say, oh wow, you know, my tax money has gone to a good purpose to
If it's shorter, briefer text, they can just take that and work with it. I totally agree about changing that vertical. It looks like you could take that to be CPAI as opposed to a line.
I would like to weigh in on that particular point. You can eliminate that line, and given the size of the text and the fact that it looks more italic, when it's next to CPA, I don't think you need that dividing line. And in option B, I believe it is, having it centered with more space around the text And with less text, people are much more likely to glance at it and actually remember what it says. So.
Any other comments?
I just think it's, I think it's actually a good idea to do this because, you know, people, most people probably have heard of the CPA, but then what's it actually used for? And for people to actually be made aware, I mean, it, fund, one of the things it funds is preservation. So I think it's, you know, it's sort of supporting our mission, you know, to that act is, and some of the things that are, you know, whether these are in our own district or not, I think it's good as like a public awareness to have those plaques, placards installed.
And what we can do next month, you know, when we do have a revised template, we can bring it back next month for you to have a look at to see what the what it looks like with less text.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. So should we continue this, Joe, or should we make a motion?
You can continue it. That's fine. Okay. Unless, I mean, you could vote on whether or not you are remand the idea of it. Installing these to staff, and then we come back and show you what the final template's going to look like.
Why don't we do that?
Giving me a lot of power.
Can I just make sure I understand? These have to be put on because they receive the money. What Correct. We're giving you the power to do is decide where on the house or the property it would go.
Correct, correct. You know, it could go on a fence, it could go...
Right.
You know, it's going to be case by case, and we'll work with the property owner too to make sure it's a location that everybody's comfortable with.
Yeah, and commissioners, we can discuss kind of a hierarchy in terms of, you know, if there are certain elements of a property that exist, we should place them, you know, first on the fence. If there's no fence, then maybe a retaining wall. Then if there's no retaining wall, then maybe next to where the keystone would be. If there's a keystone, we can put it on the opposite side. So there's a whole bunch of options and hierarchies that we can discuss once we have the final model.
You could put it on a parking meter too.
We could do that, Joe. I'm going to put it on Helen's window. So, yeah. All right. So does anybody want to make a motion?
Well, I'll make a motion that we approve the placement of the community preservation plaques and refer the final approval to staff once we have seen the next version based on the alterations we've discussed, meaning less wordy, centered text, etc. It's a bit wordy, I'm sorry.
Is there a second for the motion?
A second.
Excellent. So I'll now take the roll call. Commissioners can say yay, nay, or abstain. John?
Yay. Do we need community involvement in any of this?
Let's double check. John, you're on top of things today. As yeah. usual, there are no public comments.
Yay.
Sharon?
Yay.
Helen?
Yay.
Nikita? Yay. And Kirsten?
Yay.
Yep. Motion passes.
And thank you so much, to, Joe. We appreciate it. Okay, so we can move on to the next section, if everyone's ready for that. I believe that is the ratification of the public meeting minutes from 5/13/2021. Do we have a second for the motion to approve the minutes?
I'll second it.
Excellent. I'll now take the roll call vote. Commissioners can say yay, nay, or abstain. John?
Abstain.
Sharon?
Yay.
Helen?
Yay.
Nikita? Yay. And Kirsten?
Yay.
Excellent. So the meeting minutes have been approved. in the next section is staff updates. So I'll pass that over to Nick.
So, you know, it's 4:55. The only thing that I have for you was I was going to show you a quick demo of our online application program. Do you all have maybe 10 additional minutes to go over this? Yeah. All right. So I just want to show you our online application program here. And I will get logged onto that. Let's see. So the program that we use is called NAC. And I'm just gonna give you a quick overview of what it's gonna look like. And then if you have any questions, let me know. This is a really great program. As I've mentioned before, it's very customizable. So this is something I've been working on for a little bit of time now. If you have any recommendations, by all means, just let me know and we'll go through it. I can make those changes. Let me just get on here. So I will show you the applicant portal. And this is my test account. So when you're ready to apply for an application, I believe starting in July, you will have a link to this website on our website. It'll be for each of our individual commissions, as well as the Boston Landmarks Commission. This will be available to the entire public. We'd like to eventually divert all of our applications to this program because it's an all-in-one program that we can keep track of everything. So you'll be required to sign up for an account, which is obviously free. But this way, when you sign up for this account, you'll be able to manage your applications, fulfill any outstanding requirements, download any of your decision letters, and fill out any new applications. You can also submit public comments related to a project, whether or not it's yours, and that will automatically populate on your project if you're applying for something. You can review everything that your neighbors are saying about it and whether it's good or bad. So to start a new application, it's very simple. You just simply click Start New Application. And it's going to bring you to this online portal here. It's very quick and direct and simple. You just simply select one of the districts that you're focusing on, the address where the property or the property where the work will take place. And then you'll go down to the applicant information and followed by the architect information and the contractor. Now, one of the really great things about this application form is that you're required to enter items that are required for an application. So as we all know, the applications that we have now are physical form. And sometimes if you just don't feel like answering a question on the application, you just leave it blank and it typically delays the process. With this online application, you're gonna get an alert that's gonna tell you if anything's missing on your application. So that's really gonna streamline that for both our team, the applicants, and you know, anybody trying to apply for work in a district. You'll never be able to leave out required info. You know, you can see this is just like our application here. Another great feature is that everything is typed, so there's no misconstruing or trying to interpret doctor's handwriting on your application. So we'll never mess that up. And that's a big thing. As Joe will tell you, you know, a lot of folks that complete applications don't necessarily have the best handwriting. Something that's often overlooked, the estimated total cost of work. This is typically a number we use for the mayor's office to report back on how much money is being invested in neighborhoods. So this is now a required field and you can't move forward without it. Additionally, another little perk to kind of help us speed up the process of reviewing your application is including your application permit number if you already have obtained it. That way we don't have to wait for you to send that over to us so that we can sign off electronically. It will be included on your application. Similarly, you are now required to answer a question about zoning and all of the other city agencies that you're required to go to before you come to the Architectural Commission. And if you answer no, you will not be allowed to finish the application. You'll get an alert saying you do need zoning and everybody else to sign off before you move forward. Again, it's going to simplify the process for our applicants And this will eliminate a lot of the phone calls that our admin in our office receives. Another way, if you have an emergency application, say for instance, your roof is leaking and you can't sleep because there's snow coming in, you can indicate that it's an emergency application. That doesn't mean we will treat it as an emergency application, but it will be expedited to us so that we can review it and determine if it actually is an application that needs urgent review. So that's great for folks that are doing things like, their walls are going to collapse on them and it's in danger of, hurting somebody in the public. That option will be available to them. Additionally, you have three additional areas where you can upload supporting documentation, including existing condition photos, which we all know is something that's often left off of applications. Now you'll be required to add something with some text down here that indicates that we don't accept screenshots from Google Street View. Supporting docs preservation, or I'm sorry, presentation, if it's different than your supporting documentation, and you'll be able to upload those individually. You can actually come back to this form at a later date if you're not able to complete this right away. So that's another cool perk that we have. Signatures, this is the really fun part. I think we're finally catching up to the 21st century. You can actually sign this application on your computer. So if you have a trackpad or you have an iPad with an Apple Pencil, you can sign this just as you would on a normal piece of paper. That's not my signature, by the way. So Helen, don't steal my identity. Additionally, if you have a different owner than the applicant, they're also able to sign here. Again, you can save the document and return to it later if they're not in the office for them to sign it. Another perk about the signatures is if you aren't comfortable doing a digital signature, you can click this box up here and what will happen is it will bring you to a screen for you to print out the signature paper and mail it into us if you're just not comfortable signing it electronically. Then of course you're signing and dating and then initialing and submitting the application. Once you submit the application, you will get an automatic confirmation number email from the Boston Landmarks Commission that says we've received your application. We're reviewing it. We'll notify you once it's complete. The really fun part about this program is for the planners themselves. So, all of our letters, as you may or may not know, that come out of the commission, we have to type up manually. We now have the ability to automate that process where we will pre-fill some spaces such as this, and then it will automatically generate and email the applicant with that news. They'll get an email in their inbox. For instance, if they're missing information, it'll say, your application's incomplete. Please log onto the portal and fill in the missing information. I'd log into the staff portal, but there's live applications in there with real people information. So I don't want to have a breach of privacy there. So I'm just not going to share that. Similarly, if you are trying to submit a public comment for a project that you hate, all you do is do submit public comment, and you'll submit it, and you'll just enter your comments here. If you prefer to upload a comment, that will go all the way to the staff, and then the staff will assign it to each individual application so it's available for the applicant to review, as well as the commissioners. Further, and Joe doesn't know this yet, but he'll be pleasantly surprised when I tell him, is that I've created a commissioner portal where you as commissioners can keep track of your commissioner appointments, your member or alternate status, whether or not you're a chair or vice chair or regular commission member, your nominating body, and the emails will automatically notify you when it's time for you to renew your membership. So you'll be required to reach out to your nominating body, ask for a new nomination paperwork, submit it via the portal, and all of that information will be there for you to track, as well as for us as staff people to track the status of our commissioners. Finally, with the commissioners, you'll also be able to review the staff comments and applications, application documents all on one portal. Once they're all available for you to review, you will get an automated email from the system to tell you that the applications are uploaded and available for you to review. Please review these applications prior to the hearing. In those applications, you will see a staff comments in terms of how the staff feels that you should make that you should rule, as well as the history of the building, if available, and any pertinent information to that application. So it's pretty fantastic, and I think it's really going to streamline this process for our constituents and make them more comfortable approaching the Landmarks Commission and all of our other neighborhood commissions, so that we can have some quick and simple decisions to them. And so that they will continue to return to us and that we can continue to keep our neighborhoods historic and beautiful. So that's basically it. That's a quick 50,000 foot overview. We're really excited. Eventually you will be able to also pay online, but City Hall works at a snail's pace. So we're just waiting for our bank account to be opened up. But that will be rolled out as soon as it's available, whenever it's available. So that's it. Are there any other questions, concerns, or are you excited, terrified?
That's great.
This looks really efficient. And I know how much, it looks very concise, but I know how much time it probably took to set it up because that's all back work.
Yep. Joe will testify that I've called him crying a couple times because I've been up since 2 o'clock in the morning trying to figure this out. But it's something that needs to be done, and it will kind of streamline the process for us, so we can focus on other important elements of our role, including design review. We can get more in depth in the details and recommendations, as well as work on policy. Identify violations and things such as that. So we're really excited because, it's just going to make things a whole lot easier for everybody involved.
So Nick, will we get an email from this saying that paperwork and everything submitted throughout the month? Like it won't just wait till like the week before so we can review it as we're going along and you know what I mean?
You tell me, I can do it either way. So what I will tell you is that we were originally doing it was notifying everybody as it came in. The emails got very overwhelming. But if it's something, if we can do it in batches, maybe once a week rather than once a month, yes, we can do that. But whatever you'd like, whichever's more efficient for you, I'm happy to look into.
I'm open-minded either. I know like another board I was on at one stage. We're starting to do stuff like that. And this one's never like there's so many items, but on that one, it would have been handy to kind of be able to review stuff as we went, you know what I mean? As they were getting finalized, but
right.
I think with the volume we do, I'm good either way.
Awesome, cool. Okay, so that's,
all right.
Yeah, that's kind of what's coming down the pike, as us Bay Staters say. So I don't know, is that a Bay State saying or is that just everybody saying? I don't know. But that's it. That's all I have for the staff updates.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Nick. This is really exciting. And I think all of us are looking forward to having this be part of what we're doing moving forward. So I think this is an awesome opportunity. And thank you so much for your hard work, as well as Joe and whoever else contributed to making this happen. So
it was all
very appreciative.
It was all me, but Joe kept me from having a nervous breakdown. So he does
out of a window. Yeah.
So I don't mean to rush us along. I have to go. Okay. If there are no more questions or updates, I want to move on to the to adjourn. So the time now is 5:09. Do we have a motion to adjourn the Aberdeen Architectural Conservation District Commission hearing for June 10th, 2021?
I'll make a motion, please, to.
I'll second it.
The motion.
Okay.
Perfect. And I now will take the roll call. So Nikita Burns, yay. John?
Yay.
Great. Kirsten? I think Kirsten.
I think she left already. Yeah.
Helen.
Yeah.
Sharon.
Yay.
Excellent. So the meeting is now adjourned. Thank you guys so much.
All right. Great. Thank you.
And have a great weekend.
All right. We'll see you soon, everybody. Bye bye now.
Okay.